just believe.
Believe. Take that home this morning. Just believe. You're seated in heavenly places. You're ambassadors of Christ. You're princes and princesses. Just believe it. You're co-crucified. Just believe it. You're free. Just believe it. Many people just don't believe it. You just choose to believe. Oh, what about this? What about this? No. Believe. Ah, Shabba. Man, he just loves us. He loves us 100%. Whether you want to change, whether you don't want to change, whether you're ready to change, whether you're not ready to change, he loves us 100%. Not 99%, it's 100%. Have you looked at the cross? He loves us. Have you seen the stripes? You've seen his stripes? He loves us. He loves us. Some people are kind of surprised by joy. They think, you know, what's that all about? You know, you see God and you just realize how imperfect you are and he's just so awesome. And the valid response to that is, God, I'm so unworthy. But only when he lifts you up and he says, I've made you clean. I've made you perfect. I've made you spotless. You can't help but celebrate. You can't help but just go crazy in his presence because he loves us. It's perfect acceptance. Just who we are. He just loves us. Lord, I just want to pray this morning, that for those who have not received the love of God, Lord, that you will show them your love. Or that you will reveal your love. Some of you are prodigals here. Some of you have been away from God. You spent his money on wild living. But you know what you do, what he does when he sees you coming? He sees you in the distance. He picks up his skirt. And he runs to you. And he hugs and kisses him. That's what it says in the story of the prodigal son. And he says, bring out the fatted calf. I love you. Let's party. He's a party god. Love makes you do crazy things. God is raising up a generation of lovers. He's raising up a bride who actually loves him. A bride who is passionate. Who, when he sees him, they don't just go, oh, I'll love him if the worship's good. I'll love him if this song's going the way I want it to. He's raising up a passionate bride who, when he sees him, they're just like, I just love you so much. I love you. He's looking for lovers. He's looking for people who will destroy the works of the enemy via intimacy. This is such a hippie like faith, it's unreal. God's just a hippie. Don't quote me on that. He just loves us, man. He loves us. If you don't believe it, just believe it. I'm supposed to be preaching on Mark 7. I'll give you a little overview. Actually, let me just tell this story. I just was reminded of this story. God's looking for people who are just so in love with him that their minds get changed and they begin to see the dimension of heaven, like the reality of heaven, no sickness, no fear, no depression, all of that. And they see it and it's logical for them just to live it in our world. And, my friends Ben and Sarah Stock, they reminded me of a really cool story yesterday. Because like, basically what's going on here, this has to change the way we are out there in the workplace. It has to affect your 9-to-5. It has to make a difference. Ben and Sarah Stock. Ben, you're awesome, man. Sarah, you're awesome. Basically, Ben works on a building site as a roofer, and his friend, who's an avid atheist, Sarah's brother, actually, according to Ben. Not that he's a brother, the atheist part. Basically, him and his wife couldn't have kids. And the doctor said they couldn't have kids. You know what Ben says? He goes, I know someone who can give you kids. Let me pray for you. So him and Sarah, Nigel and Jean Stott, they go home and they pray. They've now got kids. Come on. Cup's not over. Wait. Cup's not full until it's overflowing. When you get full of love, you just start hugging people. You're just so happy. You can't just help but love. I used to get like road rage back in the day. Someone would cut me up and I'd be like, what? How dare you cut me up? Now I'm just like, I love you, man. Just be blessed. Can't help it. You can't help but just like everywhere you go, I used to be kind of quite judgmental. I'd be like, I'd walk down the street and I'd be like, oh, she's a bit fat. You know, he's a bit ugly. Oh my gosh, what is he wearing? That guy's a bit of a tramp, isn't he? He needs to sort himself out. Now I'm just like, prince, princess, beautiful, honored, co-heir with Christ. With God's help, you can do great things than Christ ever did. You just need a bit of revelation. You just need a bit of freedom. Do you know what I mean? You can't help. Your mind gets changed. You just get so loved up on him. You just become a love machine. I'm just a love machine. And I won't work for nobody but him. Oh, baby. A lot of glory in the Motown. All right, so overview of Mark 7. Oh, I love you, God. All right, so basically the Pharisees are moaning. The Pharisees are moaning that Jesus' disciples aren't washing their hands. Jesus has a bit of a kind of go at them. Because basically the Old Testament regime is about the power of sin. And the New Testament regime is about the power of righteousness. So they are worried about what is touching them. And they got loads of laws and stuff like that. Let me just kind of illustrate that little point. Bill Johnson says, he uses this illustration. He goes, in the Old Testament, if you touched a leper, you'd be deemed unclean. You'd have to kind of go out of the village, and that's why they kind of cast lepers out. Jesus, the one who's righteous, he touches a leper, and they're clean. Do you understand the difference? Okay. Anyway, and he says to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain they do worship me. Basically, what he's saying is, their worship, because it doesn't flow from intimacy, because the heart is far away, their worship is in vain, it's void. It's not about kind of just honoring God with your lips. He's looking for our hearts. He's looking for us as a whole. You know? I've met a lot of Christians who walk the talk and they talk the talk. Well, they don't walk the walk. They talk the talk. You know? They just know what to say. They could lead a good church meeting. You know, they could look really holy. They've got loads of scriptures to argue against, kind of, you know, whatever you want, but they're not living it, you know. They're not in that place of intimacy, because God's looking for our hearts. That's what he died for. He died for our hearts. And when I say heart, basically it's obviously not your physical heart, although it is for that, I guess. The heart is kind of, it's your seat, the seat of your mind and your emotions. Does that make sense? It's a place from which kind of that stuff flows. And I guess I had some teaching on this recently, which I found really freeing, which was that in the heart of a man is basically kind of the fundamental question, do I have what it takes to be a man? You know? Am I going to like succeed in life? Am I going to like live out my life and really get to the end of it and think, yeah, I've done this as a man? I kind of like, for me, that like resonated. I was like, yeah, you know, that's kind of one of the things that's in my heart. And I was like, you know, I really want to just like live to the maximum, you know? I want to be the husband that like, I'm called to be. I want to be the warrior that I'm called to be. I want to be a man. And basically, this guy is from Bethel as well, said that at the heart of every woman, the women I've spoken to kind of agree with this, basically kind of the fundamental question, am I worth fighting for? Am I lovely? Am I beautiful? That's kind of like, you know, the deep things of a woman. Apparently. Women, do you agree? Is that kind of one of the like the main questions that is, you know, around? Nod. Yes, Dave. Maybe not. I don't know. And basically, when we encounter the love of God, what happens is he answers those deepest questions in our hearts. For me, he goes, I'm like, do I have what it takes to be a man? And he goes, you have what it takes to be a man because you're my boy and I'm your dad. And through me, you are capable of the most amazing things. Through me, you are going to get strength to be able to love. Strength to be soft when I want to be hard. And he answers the woman, he goes, and she goes, oh, am I worth fighting for? Am I lovely? He's like, you're so lovely. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. There is none other on the planet like you. And in fact, I died for you. That's good, isn't it? You feel the love? Say amen. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, testify. Okay, so God's looking for our hearts. Basically, he says to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. He's looking for our hearts. It's central to everything. At the end of Mark, this screwed me up when I read it a few months ago. Actually, it was more than that. But I underlined it, and he said, actually, I'll read it. He rebukes them. I won't read it. And he reproached them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. He rebukes them for their unbelief and for their hardness of heart. I guess it's probably because God's looking for soft hearts, because he wants us to be moved by him. You know? The reason why, like, he's looking for our hearts, I think, above all things, is because from our hearts, from the seat of our thoughts and kind of our imaginations and our emotions, flow everything. Obviously, like, he's looking for a people of action, you know? We're called to take the town of Maidenhead. We're called to establish justice in our nation. We're called to raise dead bodies, to open blind eyes, to heal the sick. We're called to do these things, but we can't do these things unless our hearts are given to him. Has anyone seen the program Pimp My Ride? Basically, it's this program, and I love it. I think it's basically what God wants to do this morning. He wants to pimp his ride. If you don't like the word pimp, I just think of the letters power in my people. you see what I did there? Yeah. It's this program on MTV where they get this old rinky-tink-tink bashed-up car, which once in a day was, it was intended. It was good when it came out of the factory, you know? It was beautiful. But over time, it got a bit rusty, got a bit battered, and then just became this, like, this state, you know? And what they'll do on the program is this like, you know, teenage guy who's got this car, and they'll give it into these guys, and they pimp the car. And what they do is they just give it a whole new body work. They give it like big fat alloys, and they just make it like way, way better than it would have been like beforehand. They pimp out, they do these leather seats, and they like, put crazy stuff in, like TVs and pool tables. They put it all in, you know. And then they come and they see this car and they're like, yeah! And they're just like completely blown away. I think that that is a prophetic picture of what God wants to do with us. You know what? I think God wants to lean on this church. I think God wants to lean on this church, and he wants to go, check my ride. But you know what else he wants to do? He wants to get in. He wants to get in us and be like, this is sweet. He wants to dwell in us and be like, yeah, man. This is like supernaturally better than it should be. Ha, ha, ha. He wants to make us way better than we like are in the natural, you know? Yeah. Can someone I don't have a clock. Can someone tell me when I've got like 5 minutes left? It's 10 to 12. What time does it finish? Give him a round of applause, Mr. Kingston, the legend of River Church. It's good to drink. It's good to drink. It's good to drink fresh water. Fresh living water. Let's have a drink. If you don't know how to drink, you just believe. You just tip your head back and you just go, and you just drink. You just receive it. You just believe. You just receive it by faith. By faith. What is faith? It's putting your trust in the things unseen. It's just believing. Okay. I just want to say about this heart thing, that we believe by faith. In Acts, it basically says that their hearts were cleansed by faith, by the Holy Spirit. He renews our hearts, doesn't he? He just makes us clean. He just washes us, and we just become so free. And you just receive it by faith, don't you? Actually, let's go to Psalm 51. Everyone turn to Psalm 51 in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to a Christian. Joking. Let's make this our prayer, okay? Psalm 51. Let's go from verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So we came out and obviously we got dirty just straight away. We just had no choice. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wow. He wants us to be whiter than snow, guys. Clean. Just every thought just given to him. You know? He wants to take us from a place of like where we know what right and wrong is, you know, like if you kind of like from the place like that kind of Christianity where you know what the thing is wrong or like you can't be judgmental and then so you're like, oh no, I want to be like this, but then I'm not. He wants to take us to that place where we just don't even think that. Does that make sense? I'm not giving a very good example. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. He just wants us to be just clean. Just snow. It's pure. It's free. And we can't do it. We receive it. We receive it by the Spirit. He cleans us. Make me to hear, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and block out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain within me a willing spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you. Purity comes first. We deal with ourselves before we even try and help others. We just receive it. Do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Recently, I've kind of just been in this place where I've just got to whole new levels of intimacy with God. You know, like, it's kind of just on this level where, like, God's like the last thing I'm thinking about when I go to sleep. I just wake up in the morning. I'm just like, I just start praying in tongues. I'm just kind of like just given to him, you know? You're just kind of given to this place of intimacy. But in that place, you have kind of a responsibility for holiness. And holiness isn't not doing bad stuff. Holiness is just walking into the Spirit. And holiness is key if we want to walk in any kind of power. But you have to make choices. On Thursday, me and Chloe went to a comedy club, and it was in this tiny venue. It was literally probably about this many seats. And we walked out. We walked out halfway through. It was a bit awkward. Embarrassing. But it was grieving my spirit, man. I don't want to grieve the spirit in me. You know? Okay, let's go back to Mark 7. This is interesting. Anyway, he basically then has a go at the Pharisees. And I'm just going to end on this, I think. He has a go at them saying, you know, you're living this kind of double life. You're giving all this kind of money away, like to church, synagogue and stuff. But you're not giving any money to your parents who are in poverty. You're not like kind of living out on the ground and you're kind of like professing this false spirituality where it's not affecting the people who are actually like need it. It's the sick who need a doctor. And it then goes like this. They're kind of like teaching false doctrines. They're kind of like negating the word of the teachings of the scriptures. And they're putting kind of teachings of men, like tradition and religion, above that. And he says this, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition. Their tradition invalidated the word of God. Like, the word of God is the most powerful thing in the cosmos. He said, let there be light. And there was light. You know? And the universe is still expanding to this day. It's expanding by, like, the speed of light as we speak. It's just getting bigger. Getting bigger. He spoke. And it's still going. You know? But somehow, in their little region, in their time frame, in their lives, the word of God over them was invalidated by their tradition. And to me, just that, it jumped out and it went, that's the power of religion. That's the power of the religious spirit. God wants to pour out something new in this time. He wants to pour out a new wine. He wants to pour out a new power on his people. He wants to pour out a new passion on his people. He wants to come in visitation. He wants to come in signs and wonders. He wants to come in healing. He wants to come in freedom. And let us never invalidate the word of God via tradition. Because there's a lot of charismatic religious spirit out there as well. We got to watch our hearts, guys. We got to watch our hearts. We've got to choose to love each other. We've got to choose to love each other. Even though we're flawed, even though people do stuff that annoy other people, we've just got to love. You know, because the cross isn't about competition. The cross isn't about building empires. It's about humility. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He washes our feet, guys. That's the example. That's the standard. He washes our feet. Let's not invalidate the word of God at this time via our tradition, via how we think church should be done. It's got to be done in this way. So basically, that's all I really want to say now. God wants to just love on people right now. He wants to renew our hearts. And we can't choose to do it. We can't just be like, oh, I need to love God more. I've got to get back and I've got to love God more. We've just got to receive it. We loved him because he first loved us. We get passionate about him when we just lie back and we just receive his passion for us. He who has ears, let him hear. So I believe that's what God wants to do this morning. He just wants to come and he just wants to love. He's going to come. We're going to have a little bit of ministry now. And if you haven't ever kind of received the love of God, you just think, man, I've been missing out on some love. You can receive it. And if nothing happens to you, like shaking or like crying or anything like that, that's fine. You just receive it by faith. You just believe. But he's going to come in love. He's going to impart a love to you that you claim for your workplace. You claim it for your family. You claim it, so you claim the overflow. You have to claim the overflow. You can't claim it being full. It has to overflow. And I think when he's going to pour out the way he's going to pour out his love, people are going to get healed in the love. Some people are going to get healed in the love. You need to receive his love. Because some of the stuff that goes on with kind of physical body sickness is associated with the mind and where you're spiritually at. And when he heals the mind, when he heals your heart, when you receive his love, the other stuff will just come into place. Do a love tunnel.